We're continuing our week-long salute to some of this year's Emmy Award nominees by featuring Brian Tyree Henry, who is up for Emmys in both drama and comedy. The drama one is for a guest actor appearance on the NBC drama series This Is Us, and the comedy nomination is for his supporting actor role on the FX series Atlanta. He plays Alfred Miles, whose rap name is Paperboy. When the series began, Alfred was selling drugs for a living because rap wasn't paying off. His cousin Earn is played by Donald Glover, the creator of Atlanta. Earn dropped out of Princeton and was broke, so he became Alfred's manager, hoping it would pay off for both of them. In season two, Paperboy became more successful, and he's often challenged by people jealous of his new fame. Terry Gross spoke with Brian Tyree Henry last April.
Brian Tyree Henry, welcome to Fresh Air. I want to play a scene from season one. And this is a scene with a guy named Zan, who's a kind of like parasitic wannabe social media star who makes like mocking videos and memes of people who are better known than he is, and then takes these like ambush selfies with them. And after Paperboy becomes Zan's target, and Zan does an online review of Paperboy's recording, questioning like, well, how authentic is he really? And does he really deal drugs? So Alfred becomes really fed up with all of this, and he tracks down Zan, finds that he's actually delivering pizzas for a living, and he gets into Zan's car, and they have this conversation.
Admit it, you ain't no critical photographer. You like a salesman or something.
What's the difference? I mean, it's all the game. We're all just hustling. You too.
Because I have to. I scare people at ATMs, boy. I have to rap. I mean, that's what rap is, making the best out of a bad situation, bro.
Right. You're exploiting your situation.
What?
You're exploiting your situation to make rap. And I'm exploiting you exploiting that. Money, bro.
Whatever, man.
And there it is. In a nutshell.
Yeah.
There we go.
Have you ever felt in the situation that Alfred's in that you felt that you scared somebody at an ATM machine?
Oh, my God, all the time. Look, I went to Yale for drama, school of drama, and, you know, like, it's in New Haven. And there's something about these Ivy League schools that you have an Ivy League school, and immediately around the Ivy League school is the ghetto, like, immediately. And so there was a time in New Haven where, like, there was a lot of robberies or whatever, and so they would make these, draw these pictures of, like, the suspect, you know, and he would always be a black man with a goatee and a hoodie. I, at the time, was a black man with a goatee and a hoodie, and I would stand outside of my building to smoke a cigarette every now and again. And I could not deny the fact that every time, even though these girls see me coming out in and out of these buildings every day, they would really, like, go the other way or clench their purses. And instead, I had to constantly tell them, I'm like, just so you know, I'm a student here. Just so you know, I'm in grad school here. So it's like, yeah, absolutely, that feeling is there. Like, Alfred is not stupid in any way. He knows what he looks like. He can't help that. He knows what people are going to put on him before he even says a word. You know what I mean? And so at some point, when you keep putting these things on people, it's going to wear them down.
So the song that puts, the rap that puts Paperboy on the map is called Paperboy. And we hear it in the series, but it's actually not you doing it. It's done, and it was written by Stephen Glover, who's one of the show's main writers. And Stephen is the brother of Donald Glover, Atlanta's creator and star. So how come you're not doing it?
Because I didn't have to. You know what I mean? Like, when people would ask me if I could rap, you know, the character calls to be a rapper. You know what I mean? Like, it says that he raps. And as an actor, I would like to believe that, yeah, man, if rapping is what it is, I should be able to do that. I'm an actor. Like, I don't want to say I can't do that. But I was like, you know, I look at Nashville, you know, and I'm like, nobody asked Hayden Panettiere if she knows how to sing country. I know they didn't, but she's playing a country singer. So it's like, it was very interesting to have to, like, kind of, like, answer for that. But what I did do is I could lip dub it. You know what I mean? I knew what the essence of what the song was going to be. And, you know, I had Steven right there helping me out. So it's like, I didn't rap it because I didn't have to. I was like, great. There's somebody else who caught, who captured the essence of that. Now I can go in and, you know, put the body to it.
So even though it's not you, let's just play some of Paperboy so our audience can hear it.
Paperboy, always about that paperboy. If you ain't on your grind, then you flexing, you's a hater boy. Paperboy, paperboy, always getting paperboy. If you ain't making money, then you ain't a money maker boy.
So that's Paperboy, that's actually done by Stephen Glover on the series Atlanta. So we were talking about how the rap recording of Paperboy that's used in the series, that you don't actually do it, that Stephen Glover, one of the writers for the show, does it. But you actually have a terrific singing voice, as you demonstrated in an episode of This Is Us, for which you were nominated for an Emmy Award. So, like, let's hear you sing, and then we'll talk.
Standing at the station, we don't know what to say. Looking out the window as you're rolling away. If I'm gonna be alone, let it be with you.
You officially ended our days as a cover band, boy.
All the five.
Mother, don't you cry, we're gonna be all right. Open up your suitcase when you get there tonight. You're not alone. I'm always, always.
So that was Brian Tyree Henry singing in an episode of This Is Us, and when she was a guest star. So you sound great. When did you start
Thank
to sing?
You. I guess since I was a little kid, but the recognition that I could sing didn't happen until high school. You know, like, you know, my parents had an amazing record collection growing up. I mean, the vinyls, as far as the eye can see, like, it was unbelievable. Like, I grew up in a house full of adults. By the time I was born, everyone was adults, all including my sisters. So no one really told me what vinyls were. I was discovering music on my own, and I would just pull vinyls out and, like, break the arm off my little Winnie the Pooh record player that was only supposed to play plastic Winnie the Pooh records. And I would, like, stretch the arm to, like, where the record could start. And I just remember hearing, you know, Michael Jackson's Off the Wall album, the very first album. I mean, I'm seeing the memory in my mind of me in a diaper. I know it's weird. I know most people can't think back that far, but singing was always at my home. You know, my mother sang all the time, and it wasn't her singing to be heard. She just had a song in her heart. You know what I mean? Like, and I just remember, like, oh, my mom, she can carry a tune. Like, she sounds really nice, but, you know, it wasn't about whether or not she sounded great or not. It was about the, like, you could tell that she meant when she was singing, when she sang it, you know. I love people who sing loud and wrong, you know what I mean? Like, I love people who have no fear, you know, like, it's a fearlessness that I think is really cool. So I never considered myself a singer because I thought singing took discipline, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I was in show choir in high school, and that was the one thing I definitely learned. My amazing show choir teacher, Miss McNair, who really taught me how to be fearless with it. Like, there was no reason for you to open your mouth and sing a note unless you knew why you were singing that note. Like, you better know what you're singing with feeling. So when I was approached with this song, all I could think about was my mother, because even the content of the song you can't sing that song without feeling every single word and what it means. Like, you can't, there's no way that you can sing that song and not feel what the weight of what it is.
And I know you lost your mother 2 years ago too.
Yeah, so I knew that that song was written at that time for a reason. I mean, I know it sounds really hippy-dippy, but you know, that was the first time. The fact that I'm about to expose my voice to the world this way, it was very gratifying because I knew what it was for. So for all those people who were like, well, you didn't rap that song, you know, you didn't rap Paperboy. No, I didn't. But this song I sang, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I got to sing this song mm-hmm. this way.
When we left off, he was talking to Terry about how he grew up listening to his mother sing at home and how he sang in his high school show choir.
So let me explain what show choir is exactly. So in my town of Fayetteville, North Carolina, there's this group from the predominantly black high school, well, the only black high school in Fayetteville, E. Smith High School, home of the Golden Bulls, big ups. There's a show choir, and I remember being in junior high and even elementary, watching this group of these black teenagers come in, soprano, alto, tenor, bass, and they would have these black and red vests on. The costume was very formal, so it was like a black and red vest with black slacks, black shoes, a white shirt, and a red bow tie. That was the uniform. And they would come into these assemblies and do these formations and do these dances and choreo and sing their faces off, man. They would sing their faces. It was unbelievable. Once I finally got to high school, my best friend at Victoria, who is the daughter of Miss McNair, who leads the show choir, and she's like, you got to audition for that. So it was unbelievable. That's why I found it really funny that Glee came along. I was like, oh, we're doing shows about this now, man. Like, nobody was talking about this when I was in high school, but we're going to do Glee and Pitch Perfect and all this stuff. I was like, oh, that's real nice. But I was a part of that, man. And the great thing was about it is that no one dogged you out for it. Like, people respected you if you were in Smith 16. It was amazing.
You mentioned that at one point your mother sent you to live with your father after they'd separated, which surprised me only because I read how close you were with your mother. She died a couple of years ago. So I was just surprised to hear that.
I think she did that because she had to do that. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like. Mm-hmm. Because, I was literally promoted from the sixth grade. I'd done all of elementary school in D.C.
Where you were living with her.
I was with my mom. And I remember crossing the stage, getting my little sixth grade diploma, and walking back to our apartment, which was up the hill. And my father had driven to come see me graduate. You know, he didn't really drive up to visit me when I was living with her, but for some reason he was there for this weekend. And I saw all my stuff in my father's car. And she was like, okay, like, you have to go live with your father. And I didn't have any say in it. I just had to go and live with this man that I loved. I loved my dad, but I loved him in the way that I knew how to love him, which was from afar. You know what I mean? It was like, what do you mean we're under the same roof now again? But to go back there and live with him, it was very, I don't know, like... My father, since I was a child, has been a senior citizen. Like, he's just always been old. Like, he's just always been an old guy, set in his ways, you know. But I tell you this, man, I really admire and love that man beyond anything in the world. And it was amazing to get to do this as us at age 76 years old, which was my father's age at the time. And I showed them a picture of my dad, and I was like, can you please, please make me look like this man? Not that you don't have to do much. Like, just shave my head and put this here. And I was so proud to be able to do that for him, because no matter whatever the misunderstandings of what we had in my upbringing, he deserved to have that, you know what I mean? Like, it was my way of kind of revealing, because I lived under this man's roof and he really didn't know I could sing. He didn't know I could act. He didn't know I could do these things. Like, my father was hardened by life. You know what I mean? Like, it was hardened. And to be able to play him in that show and to call him, oh, Lord, I'm not going to cry. to tell him, I was like, hey, man, I just want you to turn this on. Like, and he saw himself looking back at him. And he was like, that's you? He was like, but that's me. He's like, that's you, but that's me. Like, that's amazing. Like, it was just the most amazing feeling in the world.
Brian Tyree Henry, it's just been great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely.
Brian Tyree Henry speaking to Terry Gross last April. He's nominated for 2 Emmys this year, as guest actor in a drama for NBC's This Is Us and supporting actor in a comedy for the FX series Atlanta.